So if your screen or your device is like an extension of your mind, it's also a way to convey your emotions. You can write a Facebook post about a bad day, or you can put out an Instagram photo of a great day smiling. But the thing is, your screen can't really understand how you feel, at least not yet.
I think building machines and devices that can sense your emotions, I think with that type of technology, instead of people like emoting these social signals and then they disappear in cyberspace, we have an opportunity to capture them.
This is Rana El-Kalyoubi. She's a computer scientist who spent the past few years at MIT's Media Lab. And the idea that our devices could be built to detect our emotions, it came to Rana when she moved from Cairo to Cambridge in the UK back in the late 1990s to work on her PhD.
That was the first time I was basically away from home.
Rana was in England by herself, thousands of miles away from anyone she knew.
And I was pretty lonely. There were a lot of these days.
And because she was in a new place where she didn't know anyone, Rana was actually spending most of her time with her laptop, which wasn't much of a friend at all.
I had absolutely no idea what my emotional state was, and I could be happy or I could be stressed or frustrated, and it would be completely oblivious.
So Rana is sitting there in England, and she's wondering, how could I fix this?
What if our devices could sense how we felt and reacted accordingly, just the way an emotionally intelligent friend would?
Today, more than 15 years after she first asked this question, Rana explained how she's getting closer to the answer. Here she is on the TED stage.
Those questions led me and my team to create technologies that can read and respond to our emotions. And our starting point was the human face. So our human face happens to be one of the most powerful channels that we all use to communicate social and emotional state. Everything from enjoyment, surprise, empathy, and curiosity. In emotion science, we call each facial muscle movement an action unit. So for example, action unit 12, it is a lip corner pull, which is the main component of a smile. Another example is action unit 4, it's the brow furrow. It's when you draw your eyebrows together and you create all these textures and wrinkles. We don't like them, but it's a strong indicator of a negative emotion. So we have about 45 of these action units, and they combine to express hundreds of emotions. Teaching a computer to read these facial emotions is hard because these action units, they can be fast, they're subtle, and they combine in many different ways.
So initially, Rana and her team fed tens of thousands of photos of people smiling or frowning into a computer program so it could learn all these tiny little micro-expressions. Today, they have 12 billion examples of those expressions, which makes the technology even better at detecting all the subtleties in our faces. And so what they've done is combine the program with a tiny camera, kind of like the one already built into your smartphone. And during her TED Talk, Rana brought up a volunteer. Her name is Chloe, and Rana gave Chloe an iPad to hold up in front of her face.
As you can see, the algorithm has essentially found Chloe's face, so it's this white bounding box.
And then it identifies the main feature points on your face.
Her eyebrows, her eyes, her mouth, and her nose.
And it starts tracking how these facial muscles move over time. So for example, when you smile.
And then as she smiles, this is a genuine smile, it's great. So you can see the green bar go up.
Your lip corners move upwards and outwards, and they create these wrinkles around your eyes and your cheeks.
Smile. Can you try like a subtle smile to see if the computer can recognize? It does recognize subtle smiles as well. We've worked really hard to make that happen.
And it identifies these things and it says, oh, okay, you're smiling here, and it maps it to an emotional state.
Once Rana and her team perfect this technology, she imagines all kinds of ways other scientists and engineers could build it into our lives. For example, you could send an email one day embedded with data about how you were feeling as you wrote it. Or what if your phone or your laptop or maybe even the mirror in your bathroom read your face every day?
And imagine if all these devices talk to each other and they can capture various aspects of your day and your emotions of the day. And we have a baseline for you, so we know what's your norm. And then we also know when you deviate from that norm. So your phone can say, hey, you know, I've noticed that you haven't laughed for the past 4 days. What's going on? Is there something I can do to help? You know, if it knows your humor profile, for example.
And then I realize, oh my God, 50 Cent has no idea what a grapefruit is.
Can find content that is really funny.
Stay hungry, stay foolish.
Or inspiring.
As you graduate to begin anew, I wish that for you.
And it can suggest 5 minutes of meditation.
Or dance music.
Or dance music.
Yeah.
Or that too. So it can do a lot of things once it understands what your patterns are and what your emotions are over time.
I think in 5 years down the line, all our devices are going to have an emotion chip. And we won't remember what it was like when we couldn't just frown at our device and our device would say, you didn't like that, did you? Imagine if your learning app sensed that you're confused and slowed down, or that you're bored, so it sped up, just like a great teacher would in a classroom. Emotion-enabled wearable glasses can help individuals who are visually impaired read the faces of others, and it can help individuals on the autism spectrum interpret emotion, something that they really struggle with. What if your wristwatch tracked your mood, or your car sensed that you're tired? Or perhaps your fridge knows that you're stressed, so it auto-locks to prevent you from binge eating. I would like that, yeah. What if when I was in Cambridge, I had access to my real-time emotion stream and I could share that with my family back home in a very natural way, just like I would have if we were all in the same room together?
How do you imagine all this could, like, change us, right? Because, I mean, I don't know, part of this makes me a little uncomfortable.
So we're very social animals and social beings. And the only thing we're changing is this paradigm in which we interact with technology, right? We are becoming more and more digital. We're surrounded by a lot more highly connected, intelligent devices. And I don't think that that's going to change anytime soon. Like, I don't see my daughter suddenly stopping texting. Like, that's going to be very hard. So I think the solution is not to curb our use of technology, but instead embrace it and build empathy into that technology. Like, I think it's important that we learn as humans that our emotions continue to matter, even in a digital world.
That's Rana El-Kalyoubi. Her company is called Affectiva. You can check out her entire talk at TED.com.